So, Dr. James Riley?
Yeah, so this was a case where I felt like the investigative committee had it right until the additional information was submitted that actually showed signature. I guess I still have concern, though, around the fact that the euthanasia form was signed by somebody who was not the owner, and whether we feel like the clinic was aware of this. Because when I look at the other documentation, like the information from county, it clearly shows Nicholas Barber as the owner and adopter of this dog, and so and it looks like that was all in the record. So I'm concerned that we would have put this dog under another name and then allowed somebody to do it, but then I go, well, that could be a husband and wife situation too, right? It's not, in this case it's a half sister and whatever, but like I guess I just go, you know, maybe getting a little bit of thoughts from you guys on if you think that it was appropriate for them to use the half-sister as the owner and allowing her to sign the forms in this case, since she was the one that was getting the discount at the hospital. Like, does that necessarily mean she takes over ownership?
I think so.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And that's the thing is that how would the veterinarian know? Mm-hmm. Who,
right.
You know, because you can
trust,
walk in
right.
with a pet to any practice, even if they have a microchip, right, and say, this is my animal. We're not scanning every chip and, like, verifying ownership, right? I mean, we might scan the chip and document the number, but if somebody says, I am the owner, then that doesn't on the veterinarian. Now, in this case, it sounds like they have a problem in some way, shape, or form, but just not with us, you know, like, not something that we can oversee.
Right, because the information from county was not in the veterinary
right.
record.
Yeah, they didn't have that information.
Right.
Right.
So to them, the dog was hers.
And in order to get the employee discount, it has to be owned by the employee. I'm
right.
going to venture to guess here.
Right.
You could find out. But then that was the ownership transfer by the other person to
yeah.
that employee.
Yeah, the only two issues I can see here are going to be either some kind of IRS tax fraud because you're getting employee discount and was that over 20%, but that's not in our purview, or a civil issue because you lied on signed documents saying that this is your animal and it's not, but again, that's not in our purview.
Right.
So whatever the complaint is here is not on us. It's not in our tiny little window of legislation that we can deal with. This would be outside, and it's up to them to kind of fight this, saying, did you fraudulently present something? And if that's the case, well, that's not us. So for what we see here, I think she was the owner based on everything I see.
Yeah.
The only other thing I had, and this was not on us either, was that in documentation that she and her mother were bit, injured in breaking up the
yeah.
fight, but then she signed the form stating that this dog has not bitten anybody in the last
yeah.
15 days before euthanizing.
True.
So, like,
true.
But again, that's not the veterinarian.
That's
not the veterinarian. That's
mm-hmm.
on her. And,
good point.
But he had paid for the surgery.
Right,
yeah,
but people, different people pay for procedures all the time. Right?
Yeah,
don't
yeah
and
the other one says
I
he reimbursed the owner. Mm-hmm.
I guess I just feel like I think this clinic may have known that this dog was owned by the brother and that she was doing it for the purpose of a discount.
Oh.
I feel like that was...
I can tell you in my practice,
social
it would be
media,
that situation.
I guess my gut is just telling me, I think they were up front with this. I think she said, I'm putting it under my name to get the employee discount, and they knew that there was another owner, and the other owner had paid for the mass and had clearly been there and been involved in this discussion. And
I would agree, but if that's the case, I also guarantee that the person who's presenting themselves as the actual owner is also agreeing to that too. Oh, yeah,
yeah.
I'll take him in, get the discount. That's fine. I'll transfer ownership over to you. So I agree with you.
Yeah.
I think everybody was well aware, but I think everybody was well aware, which means in that short term, in my opinion, you transferred ownership. Even if you wanted to transfer it back
yeah.
after the fact, you transferred ownership at that point. The new owner paid for it. Even if they're getting reimbursed, I don't care. They paid for it. They're the owner, in my opinion.
They didn't pay for it.
The employee? No. Oh, I thought it said that he paid back the employee.
He did, yeah. It didn't get
so
charged to his card. The employee paid for it, and then he paid.
And then he paid the employee back.
Yeah, that was the new information.
Yeah, that was. So that
his
was just
card was in there. His
yes,
picture,
but
his
then
card
but then he
there.
Said
it
didn't
did,
get
but
charged.
That was by mistake.
No, I think to get the discount.
I would think it would have to be paid under the employee. Again, that's just other tax stuff. But yeah, I was looking at here. It said the email, I think, came back. Where was the email at?
Yeah.
That said something like, I paid her back at the very, I think it was the last.
It was the text, yeah.
Oh, text, yeah. But there was something that said, I paid her back at the very last sentence or around there.
Yes.
Yeah, I saw that. I think the other thing is, this is a responsible veterinarian, so we don't even know how much involvement they had in this case. I think it's a crappy situation, and I feel for the adopter / original, I guess, owner of this dog. But I can kind of see how he put himself in the position by doing it this way. So I'll make a motion in 2565 that we find no violation of our practice after rules.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Okay, section 2, number 6, case 2566. Tracy, could you please read the front list?
Yes. Case 2566, the complainant is Evelia Villegas, and the respondent is Scott Justin, PBM. On October 28, 2024, Asaya, a 14-year-old female Chihuahua mix, was presented to respondent for evaluation. After much consideration, complainant elected to humanely euthanize the dog. The dog was euthanized and ashes were to be returned to the pet owner. On November 7, 2024, complainant called to check to see when the dog's ashes would return. Upon checking, premises staff realized the dog was mistakenly marked as a communal cremation and the ashes would not be returned. Respondent had staff reimburse complainant for all services performed on October 28, 2024. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board dismiss this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Thank you. Respondent or complainant. And Dr. Byrne, you are the lead on this case.
Yep. So in reviewing case 2566, Scott Dustin, DVM, involved a dog that was inappropriately submitted for cremation, and the owner was not able to get an individual cremains returned to them. The veterinarian did realize this mistake and reimbursed the client for all of the services that had been incurred in the charges. They also had enacted some sort of a update on our forms that you will have two people responsible for double checking and checking the fact that the proper cremation option is selected going forward. They had made a recommendation to dismiss the case, so I guess I would go along with making a motion to dismiss case 2566.
Does this kind of fall in the same situation as the other case? Like, it happened.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, there is still a problem. Or now, is this the responsible veterinarian?
Yes,
okay.
It is.
Okay. Because, I mean, again, it doesn't... They did the right things, right? And again, we had another case earlier, right? Like, you do all the right things, and that's really great. But you still entered into an agreement with this person that this is a service you're going to provide, and this wasn't a mistake on the crematorium's part. It was in the practice, and so they see that they made the mistake, right? They put some things in place, but there was still an issue, right? There was still
something that happened. I think this only differs from the standpoint of it didn't impact the medical care of the pet.
But again, this is the responsible veterinarian, and you entered into a contract with this person saying, this is what we're doing for you. This is the care we're going to provide.
Yeah.
So, yeah, even if you're a veterinarian and you have boarding at your facility, right, and things happen, it wasn't particularly medical care, but it's still something you are providing services. It just sucks.
I agree with you. I think that something should be documented. I just don't think it can be the same as the other one.
No.
Gross negligence would not apply. Because this doesn't involve the pet. It's like maybe professionally acceptable procedures, a letter of concern.
And the veterinarian didn't realize it, right? The veterinarian didn't realize there was a mistake. The owner realized there was a mistake because they're like, wait, where's my pet? And again, I've seen this happen before, and it's really horrible. I'm going to tell you, like, the entire team feels horrible. And you want to know what you could do better, and you wish you could go back and change it. You know, you wish you could, you know, make it all go away because that person hurts and the entire team that was involved hurts. But yeah, and not medical negligence, but I think there is something there.
Okay, yeah. Right, I'll rescind my previous motion, and I'll make a motion to find no violation of the Practice Act with issue a letter of concern in the case of 2566, in the case of Estella, the Chihuahua, for not properly filling out the crematory request form properly.
Second.
So there's a motion and a second to dismiss with no violation, offer a letter of concern. All those in favor?
I'm still leaning more towards professionally acceptable procedure. I mean, this is, I don't think this is something that you can just be like, well, it just happened. We changed things. We're good. We offered our money back again. I mean, this was in my case, my child is now gone forever, and I expected them to be home. I mean, that's more than just, don't do that again, slap on the wrist, in my opinion. I think that's a professionally acceptable procedure, personally.
Well,
so we have a motion on the floor.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's my discussion.
We
didn't
vote.
So,
we already voted.
Well,
no, we didn't have a discussion. We couldn't have voted until there was a discussion.
We didn't finish the vote.
I mean, we voted before discussion. That's not following procedure, too. So I'm going to strike that vote. I'm going to make a motion to strike that vote until we actually have a discussion.
That's just
because, like I said, yeah. I mean, that's my piece.
Unwind this.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to ask for your direction.
Yeah. I think I thought I heard all those in favor. If I misheard. Let's just unwind it to we have a motion and a second. Let's have discussion on the motion.
So that was my discussion. Okay. I said my piece there is I think it's just more than a letter of concern, personally.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now we can.
Now.
If there's any more, unless there's.
And I felt the same way, but I was just going to vote that way. So
yeah. No, you're fine. Yeah.
I wasn't. We weren't done voting. So okay. All right. So any more discussion?
Nope.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second. All is in favor.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Nay.
Nay. Motion passes.
There.
Thank you.
Just got to speak our minds.
I feel like I did. okay. Section 2, number 7, case 2567. Tracy, could you please read the front load?
Yes. Case 2567, the complainant is Rick Schiffner. The respondent is Ryan Patrick Jr., DVM. On September 24, 2024, Hank, a 2-year-old male English Labrador, was presented to respondent due to anorexia, vomiting, and lethargy. The dog had a history of chewing up toys and eating bones. Radiographs revealed a gas distension pattern suggestive of foreign bodies. Exploratory surgery was recommended and approved. Respondent performed surgery and no foreign bodies were found. The dog's abdomen was closed in 3 layers and was discharged later that day. On October 2nd, 2024, the dog's incision site failed and his intestines and organs eviscerated. The dog was taken to Canyon Pet Hospital for emergency surgery. And the committee concluded that no violation of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred. It was moved and seconded that the board dismiss this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you. Respondent.
They stole a monitoring log.
Thank you. And no complainant present. Dr. James, you were late.
Yeah, so this case, we've had issues like this before where animals are taken to surgery and it ends up being a negative exploratory, and that can be frustrating. I think this one then also got worse because there were complications post-op. In looking at the medical records, I don't think there was anything that I can say from a post-op perspective that would have, from a medical perspective that would have affected the post-op. I mean, potentially the instructions were there, how to handle this was there. I don't know if the dog was recovered appropriately and those were followed, but I don't see anything that I think, well, it's to the veterinarian. I think the question here is whether an exploratory was an appropriate path, and in looking at the x-rays, While I don't see an obvious foreign body, there was certainly some gas distension, some placation of the intestines. And I kind of can see why they would have gone to an exploratory. Could they have done other diagnostics? We've talked about this before too. Yes, but I think here they chose the exploratory, and I, whether we agree or don't agree with that, I don't think it's below the standard of care to do that. So I would make a motion in the case of 25-167 to support the findings of the investigative committee and find no violations of our Practice Act of Rules.
Can I ask a question of other veterinarians? The 2-0 foreclosure for Delinea on a 91-pound dog?
I mean, I like 2-0 for a lot of things, honestly. It's probably my preferred one. In the case of this, though, I probably would have sent home a sedative for an English lab, especially a big one that's 2 years old, because they're all crazy. So most likely this was an activity thing. But I mean, 2-0, I can't fault that, because I prefer 2-0 for most things, but 0-0 is also a good choice.
Yeah.
So
I would always use 0-0 in this case, at least in the linea, and then you could use 2-0. Skin. Was this a intradermal skin, or was this?
It said they tied the skin and the intradermal together. It looked like because.
So did we have skin sutures as in removal?
It says a closed linea 2-0 PGA simple continuous, and then closed sub Q with 2-0 PGA simple continuous into transdermal closure. So I think that was Colorado where you tied the knots together. I don't know procedure.
Yeah,
it sounds like it's probably that. The dog was slow to recover, but able to walk on his own.
Well, and then in the report from the other vet, it was like we couldn't find any other sutures.
Yeah.
Well,
like,
and
I
understand that with continuous. I mean,
right.
when it blows, that suture goes through.
If you
might not see it at all.
Yeah,
but if you can't find suture in a simple continuous with a line,
right.
It's like, did it tear in multiple places and come out? Did it de-thread,
sure.
Or did that dog chew it out?
That's the question.
That's my other question. There is,
right.
If there's no suture there, if there's not even major tiny remnants of stuff, it's like, failure happens usually either at the knot or in one section, so there should still be something, either the other knot still in there or something, so that tells me
you
might probably licked it out.
There should be a knot.
So the dog probably licked this open too.
The other thing is the time frame here.
Mm-hmm.
This was a long time.
The 6 days?
My suspicion is there was a large seroma developing and this thing was dissolving for whatever reason internally, and then because of the description of it, went to look like we peed and then blew open. That's not going to happen all at once.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
that suture doesn't dissolve that fast, even in the face of a seroma or an infection. That PGA is going to last.
It's going to last.
So there's going to be remnants of pieces there.
Well, yeah, and I agree with that. When I said couldn't find it,
you can
find knots or strands or. It broke, but continuous, I can understand why we didn't have evidence of our interrupted linea.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Which is,
yeah.
That's what I was referring
to.
But, so, we don't know about the compliance. So, in these cases where we don't hear from them, we can't make a judgment.
Well, that's the thing. All I can say is in the medical records, there was documentation of how to recover this dog. We don't know what happened. But I don't necessarily know that I can say this was a surgical technique issue.
Yeah.
You
have one doctor saying I would never use 2-0 and another saying I use 2-0. You're going to hear that.
Hard practice.
Yeah, so.
Okay,
yeah.
So there was a motion.
That was his technique or her technique. Sorry.
So we have a motion to dismiss. Do we have a second?
I'm going to second it. I want to make a comment. It's kind of a bummer that the dog got a thermal burn from the secondary.
I saw that too. I was like, good grief.
Geez, what kind of luck does this dog have? So, again, I don't think there's anything we need to open a case or anything there, but I hope that whatever caused that, if it was truly a defective warming unit, that Canyon, that hospital did address that already.
Yeah, we've seen those.
That's a bummer. I feel really bad for this
poor dog.
Yeah, I'm glad he's chugged along.
Both sides.
Yeah.
Both ends.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second to dismiss with no violation. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion passes. Section 2, number 11, case 2571. Tracy, could you please read the front lift?
Yes, case 2571. The complainant is Rita Stout. The respondent is Wesley Arnold, DVM. On October October 10th, 2024, Juneau, a 14-year-old female corgi mix, was presented to respondent for euthanasia. The dog was administered a sedative. However, it was not effective, and the dog required another injection of the sedative. Respondent held the dog's paw and shaved the fur to access the left cephalic vein. The dog began to vocalize, which was not uncommon for the dog. Respondent was unsuccessful in administering the euthanasia solution in that location and attempted to try the right cephalic vein. After being unsuccessful, the back left lateral leg over the saphenous vein was shaved, and they were able to humanely euthanize the dog. And the committee concluded that no violations of the Veterinary Practice Act had occurred, and it was moved and seconded that the board dismiss this issue with no violation. The motion was approved with a vote of 4-0.
Okay, thank you. Respondent, just...
David Stoll, monitoring only.
Okay, thank you. And no complainant. So Dr. Thompson, you are the lead.
Yeah, this is, I mean, this is always unfortunate when we have, especially around euthanasia situations. In reading through it, I agree with the IC's recommendation of no violation. There's nothing against it in the Practice Act, but I would propose sending a letter of concern, just reviewing the procedures. I understand that the thought behind not wanting to give another dose because of blood pressure, but could we have used a different medication to sedate the dog in that situation? And also knowing that it's sensitive to the front legs, could we have gone to the back leg instead of putting the dog and the owner through that experience? So I would just say a letter of concern surrounding euthanasia procedures.
I always get a little... when it comes to, I didn't want to give him an extra dose of something around euthanasia.
Yeah.
What's the rationale?
Because that was my thought too.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, the goal of this of this visit is, but his rationale was that the drugs that they were using to reduce dextrose, that we would reduce the blood pressure and not be able to find venous access, which I totally get. But then could we have used tebazole or something else to really sedate the pet and not be at that point? So that would be my recommendation.
And I don't understand the hesitation to place catheters in euthanasias. I don't understand why there's so many doctors that are just so adamant against it. It's like when you have this hunting ground for a vessel in front of a client who's already crying, it's like the catheter just makes things so much easier. And I don't understand why people just don't do that.
But if you also don't have sedation to do a butterfly catheter, then you don't have adequate enough sedation to do
an indwelling catheter.
Putting a catheter in always involves... or should involve taking the animal away. Mm-hmm. That's always a problem.
Mm-hmm.
When do I sedate first? I'll sedate first and then take the animal away and take a catheter. That's the way I prefer it.
Yeah.
But I have.
Yes, I have had people say that they didn't want it. It's like, okay, we'll go through here. But my standard is I'm placing a catheter.
Sure.
Like I said, this is what happens so many times. And again, it's just a thought process thing. It's not below standards to do this, but it's such a stressful situation. When you're hunting for a vein on an animal and the owner's crying and you're already stressed out and you don't hit it the first time, it just puts you in a bad situation. Okay. And we're doctors and we're taking the life of an animal. It's like, plan ahead for things. But again, I don't think anything was done wrong. It's just one of those bummer of a situations. But catheters are handy.
That was my motion.
Yes, and I second that.
All right, we have a motion and a second. Any other discussion?
The motion was a letter of concern.
Dismiss with no violation, issue a letter of concern. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
Nay.
Motion passes. All right, section 2, number 12, case 2573. Dr. Nosley is recused. Tracy, could you please read the front load?
Sure. So case 2573, the complainant is the Arizona Veterinary Medical Examining Board. The respondent is Timothy Chesson, DVM. On December 11, 2024, the board opened an investigation after receiving information regarding the respondent's conduct. The respondent provided a prescription of alprazolam for a former employee. He provided his DEA registration number to the former employee who obtained controlled substances for herself and friends. And this case did not go go in front of the investigative committee was brought back to you for your review and consideration.
Thank you. No respondent, and we are listed as the complainant. So Dr. Byrne, you are the lead.
I am. So in reviewing the case of IIR 2573, Dr. Tim Chison, DVM, there are multiple prescriptions written for multiple animals for Xanax, and there's going through the number of prescriptions for the number of pets and the number of tablets and the number of refills. There seems to be a lot of controlled substance floating around. So I don't know what you guys thought about it. I thought it was difficult to even dissect just the pharmacology of it without having some discussion with the doctor. So I was moving to make a motion to move it to an informal.
Second.
Motion and second to move case 2573 to informal. Any other discussion?
Do we have the results of the DEA investigation on this one?
It's not complete as far as we know.
It's there.
Do we know?
That's right.
Do we know when it's
going to be? Still.
Tracy.
So I had pended this case to try to give them some time to get some more information. Unfortunately, the agent or the investigator that I'm working with, she has a lot on her plate and she is going to different trials. So they're still trying to obtain additional information as well on this matter. So I wanted to bring it to you guys to at least get the ball rolling. And hopefully maybe by, because my thought was if you guys had some issues, of course we could move further. If you didn't, then we could always bring it back for your review with new information. So.
Thank you. That answered.
Unfortunately, this is not the first case of issues regarding controlled substances with this veterinarian.
We don't get this case, though.
All right. So, all those in favor, move to informal?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Motion passes. All right. Section 2, number 14, case 25-117. Tracy, could you please read the front load?
Yes. Case 25-117, the complainant is the Arizona Veterinary Medical Examining Board. The respondent is Dwight Manesh, DVM. At the March 19, 2025 Arizona Veterinary Medical Examining Board meeting, the board opened investigation regarding the respondent's conduct with respect to non-compliance with his consent agreement 24-08 regarding Dwight Manesh, DVM. And this did not go in front of the investigative committee. It was brought back to you for your review and consideration.
Thank you. And we do have a respondent and counsel. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
I'm Dr. Dwight Finch.
Thank you.
I'm Attorney Michael Rain with Bogan & Son.
Okay. You have up to 5 minutes to address the board.
Thank you very much. You know, normally we would just observe at this stage, but as you have known, we are on the agenda. In matter four, section four, matter seven, mm-hmm. with a proposal for a global resolution of all matters involving Dr. Vinesh because of his retirement. He is now currently retired. He's leaving the state within a matter of days. He's transferred the control ownership of the practice and the care of the animals. And so while, you know, we need to address this, we do have the later matter on the agenda where we would propose a process to essentially end Dr. Vinesh's licensure with this board. He's due for renewal in about 5 weeks. He's not currently practicing, has no intent to practice. We've talked that over, my colleague talked that over with board staff. There's another matter that Mr. Stoll is handling that's referenced in there, matter 2557. And so normally we would just observe at this stage, but I figure because of that other matter, if there's any questions you have about the issues in this case that's under review, that we should answer them now, so that as that other agenda matter comes up, you have more information to make a final decision. So if you have any questions for Dr. Vanesh, we're here to answer.
Okay, thank you. Should we be asking questions at this moment, or should we?
Well, you do have to, you know, eventually take action on this matter, whatever mm-hmm. that may be. Right. If you determine that there were, you know, acts of unprofessional conduct, as Mr. Rain had suggested, you may want to defer taking dispositive action until we consider the other matter and then roll everything into one.
And that was kind of my question, since I'm a lead on this. Is this something we can table until we talk to the other about the other two and then come back to this, or is something we should address right now and then go to the other two?
Well, you're going to have to address this.
Yeah. I think the resolution of the other two is going to be dependent on where
and
I recommend going here.
And we have different leads, so
yeah. It's
tag team.
Because I guess, and again, I don't know how far into the discussion, so stop me if I'm going too far, but there's a potential proposal to not practice after a certain date.
Right.
So if we deal with that in the other two, then this can kind of be not really dealt with in that regard, just kind of rolled into that. And I mean, we don't really have a way to surrender licenses, but it sounds like
we have to vote on this before if you.
Well, but I wonder if we can table it and then vote on it after the other two, or do we have to vote on it now?
If the board would prefer to handle the other two first, then you can certainly table it.
That's just for the board members. That's kind of my thought, because if we end up dealing with a potential voluntary surrender of license, then dealing with this one is not.
Did we do the violation and then we compend what we're going to do about that violation?
Oh, okay.
So we still need to do the violation.
If you're going to find a violation, then we would do that. But if we're dismissing, then it doesn't matter. So
that's kind of what I'm thinking is
so this case shouldn't have anything to do with the other
thing. This case is its own standing case. So
I mean, couldn't you roll it into the other ones and just deal with it all at once?
If you find violation.
Only if you're finding a violation. Yeah. If you're dismissing then it doesn't matter.
I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
And there is the medical records violations. Or, well, since it's an inspection, I mean, is that individual medical records, or what would that be?
This is...
Because it's not a specific...
A non-compliant.
Yeah, so it'd be more non-compliant, so it wouldn't be like a specific case that didn't affect the outcome of the case. It would be more...
No.
So this would be more on just non-compliance,
so
not listening to a board order, is all we're dealing with here.
Right.
Okay. So they go back to that actual, unless anybody has that statute off the top of their head.
Failure to comply with a board order?
Yeah, because I don't have my folder here, unfortunately, for the...
I think, is that 18?
That's what I was looking at.
32, number 18.
Yeah, violating or attempting to violate.
Does anyone have any questions as to...
Whether
or not, because clearly there were still some issues,
yes.
But from the veterinary perspective on potentially why they're not complying, or was this a one-off, or not a one-off?
Well,
I'm just wondering if they were. If
and we're talking about the non-compliance stuff in the next ones,
before
right?
One more time.
We're talking about the non-compliance from the previous
right.
one and the next two. That's where it's kind of complicated. Because I'm like. Without talking about the next two, it's hard to fully do this one unless, I mean, we're looking at separate, so if that's the case, it's just a violation of a board order.
Right, and that's all that
yeah.
is.
So
right.
That,
yes.
so that
this
would
is
be,
just,
yeah.
right, this is yeah. non-compliance with the consent agreement.
Yeah, so we said ARS, I'm sorry, what, 32?
18.
22, 32, 18. 32, 22, 18. Okay, let me go back to that. 18,
here we go. So the practice monitor report, that's the other agenda item,
that's a different
came one. After this.
Yeah. That's
yeah, thing. Yeah, no, I understand. I just didn't, like I said, so this is just, so wait, 32, 22, 18, failure to pay license fee is B, application renewal is C, that's in there, 22, 18. That's renewals.
On page 32, 22, 32, number 18.
Oh, there's the 18. Okay, I'm sorry. I was looking at 22, 18. Okay, so I'll make a motion to find a violation of 32, 22, 32, 18, violating or attempting to violate directly or indirectly or assisting. I don't think we need the assisting or abetting in there. But basically for 18, for failing to follow a rule of the board.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion, a second, to find a violation. Any other discussion? Voice vote?
Yeah.
Okay. All's in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. So at this point, we can move on to the other agenda items and discuss.
And it was based upon his failure to comply with the terms of the consent agreement as set forth in the investigative report.
Correct.
Right. Okay.
So now we have a violation. Now, if we wanted to, we could roll together. Right. Okay.
Okay, so then we'll move to section 4, number 6, case 2508, regarding Dwight Benesch, DVM board interview, discuss and take action on practice monitor report. And then, am I calling the other one too, the combined? Or do we need to?
We should take them separately.
Okay. So, and Mr. Rain, you're still counsel on
yes.
that one? Okay, all right. So, case 2508, Ms. Solomon, you're the lead on this one.
Yes, thank you. First, I have a question of Mark about the current status of the license. At the board's February meeting, the board voted to extend probation for another 90 days until August the 14th, 2025. That was not done. So the probationary period under the current consent agreement ended last week, May 14th, 2025.
Yeah, I think the based upon Dr. Benesch's intent to kind of retire and wind down, I'm not sure how much the board really wants to focus on this particular matter, as opposed to next agenda item, which is kind of just considering perhaps a global consent agreement for the wind down of his practice.
Okay.
Consolidating the cases.
Okay. So this would be consolidated as part of number 7?
So would this be no action or pending?
And there's a typo.
I mean, you can certainly take action, but I don't know, based upon the information that you now have, whether it can just be all memorialized in a consent agreement that consolidates all three matters.
And I'm ready to propose that for the next agenda item.
So you want to just take no action on number 6?
Yeah.
Paul, agree?
Do you want to say anything on that?
No, I mean, if you had questions for Dr. Benesch about the practice monitor's report, I know that he had looked at some of the issues and had information to share, but if you have no questions, we can discuss.
The practice is still open, right? So even though he's leaving, he's still the responsible veterinarian, so I think the board should hear what's happening.
Now. There's the practice been turned over to Dr. Cherry, okay, and she has signed a letter, and it is notarized by Eric, the CEO of the corporation, and it's probably to be on the way. I'm not sure if it arrived yet or what, but I was told yesterday that it's done.
We haven't received any premise license application.
We need it. And premise license application.
Just a changeover from me to her.
Yeah.
Okay, that'll all be done. So Courtney McDougall is the practice manager. We're local here, so you can communicate with her. And then Eric Jones is the CEO, who's handling the other things, the transition and everything. I really communicating.
Okay, so just to be clear, Dr. Benesch and your counsel, you're still the responsible veterinarian until you give up the license formally by notifying the board?
I can do that now if you want.
No, I don't want you to do it right now. You need to do that in writing for statute, and then you need to submit a new application so that the practice can continue to operate seamlessly. Otherwise, they shouldn't be open if you've given up and you've turned away the license and they haven't turned a new application.
Just to clarify, those would need to happen simultaneously. There's no statutory grace period between the...
For him, there is, actually. So
well, we wouldn't want to
A change of responsible veterinarian cancels a license. So if the license is canceled, then the application should come right after that.
We want to collaborate with them to make sure that we don't...
Yes, want to make sure they are understood.
Right.
Thank you. Thanks.
So there's no action on that item, correct? And we'll move on to item 7.
Oh, So section 4, number 7, case 2557, 25117, and 24.
It's 2508.
2508.
Oh, yeah.
Regarding Dwight Benesch, DVM, Board Mayor View, discuss and take action on licensee's request to consolidate these cases and enter into a consent agreement to resolve all matters. So in this case, since we did make a motion on 25117, then Ms. Solomon, you are the lead.
Mark, quick question. Do we need a separate motion to consolidate the cases and then a motion to offer consideration? Okay. Madam Chair, I move that we consolidate cases 2557, 25117, and 2508 with Dr. Dwight Benesch.
Second.
Motion and second. Any other discussion? All right. Roll call or voice vote?
That can be voice.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay. Madam Chair, I'd like to offer a motion I'd like to make a motion to offer a consent agreement that it's my understanding from what's been submitted that after the summer you plan on no longer practicing, or have you already
moving to Florida this fall?
Okay. So would you no longer be practicing after September the 1st as a result, or what's the date?
Oh, well, if I may, I guess it's my understanding, correct me if I'm wrong, that he is currently not practicing and does not intend to resume the practice. I believe that his license is due for renewal in
2026.
Yeah.
2026. Okay, so what we'd like to propose is a world where we can place that license under a practice restriction, a full practice restriction. I don't think we really have an inactivity tool here with this board, but any sort of assurance that the board may need that he will not be able to practice until the time of his renewal would come due, then he would not renew his license. And that way you know he is unable to practice under any current license. Connection with that, because you found the violation in the previous case, that consent agreement could include a consent agreement to accept a remedy or the acknowledgement of that violation in the case we discussed previously, along with any other conclusions of the other pending matters to document any violations that the board found, and then his license would expire at the time of renewal. Essentially that.
And he would agree to not apply for reinstatement?
We could agree for that. I think we could also agree in the consent agreement that should he apply to renew his license, that in light of the violations that had occurred, the board would have a factual and legal basis to deny renewal. But he would also assert, I will not do it. He has no intention of renewing, but we just want to make sure the board has assurances that if he changed his mind and he said, never mind, now all these cases are behind me and now I want to renew, that we would have already documented in a consent agreement that in light of the violations that the board has documented in the previous cases, that the board would have a basis to deny renewal. We just want to give you all the assurances that you may want, that he is retired, he's not returning to practice, he's moving to Florida, he's transferred to practice, we're going to work with staff to make sure that that happens. So.
And I appreciate that. There's really not a good way of not getting another license, unfortunately.
Right.
Just to kind of not let the cat out of the bag, but it's really hard to deny applications,
right.
Even so, if you surrender a previous one. Right. So I appreciate what you're saying, but that's not a really easy thing we can do legally.
Right. Sure.
I guess my question would be, are you planning on getting license in Florida, or are you just going to surrender all licenses?
I don't have a license
there. Yeah, are you going to get one or no?
I'm not intending to.
Okay. The only thing I see, just kind of speaking veterinarian to veterinarian, is I've met a few veterinarians in my past, and what I find is retirement always sounds like a good idea, and then after a few months, someone needs a prescription for something, and you're like, oh, I can do this, I can do that. When you surrender a license, you're going to be painting yourself into a corner of, it's not easy just to call up Walgreens and be like, oh, I need an amoxicillin prescription. So, like I said, so without a license completely, and we've dealt with this situation before where someone has tried to go into this situation, kept practicing, and then we had to come back and go through a formal, and truly revoke a license, and that's just an ugly process that no one wants to go through, and we don't want to do to one of our colleagues. So I just want to make sure it's very clear that if you don't have a license, I mean, even in something as simple as a basic prescription or getting an account with Midwestern or not Midwestern, whatever, those vendors that I can't think of the names of right now, is not going to be something that you can do, and if you do, it's going to get you in some trouble. So I just want to make sure that you're aware of all that.
Just to clarify, Dr. Reich, I did not read in the council's proposal of offering to surrender the license. Is that correct?
No, I mean, we would prefer an alternative to it. Usually surrender is something that people do in lieu of being revoked, and it's treated as a revocation.
Yeah, we don't really have a surrender option.
Yeah, you're right.
So,
Yes, we do.
Oh, do we?
Yes,
oh, I thought we couldn't vote to surrender licenses.
Yes, we can. Okay, so, but in this situation, if we accept that portion, then there's obviously all these other pieces that we have, too, in these matters, because there's unpaid...
Right, there's unpaid civil penalties, et cetera. So, Madam Chair, I would propose we offer a consent agreement with findings of fact as the findings of fact previously presented in those three cases.
Second.
Yep. Okay, a motion and a second for findings of fact. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
And
opposed?
Sorry.
All right, passes. Sorry.
Okay. Madam Chair, I move we adopt the conclusions of law as previously indicated on the other three cases.
Second.
Okay. A motion and a second for conclusions of law. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion passes.
Okay. And the contents of the actions in the agreement would be that... Dr. Benesch would agree to no longer practice as of September 1st, 2025.
I think you can make it immediate.
You can make it immediate? Yeah. Okay, great. Okay, then let's say this is June 1st. How's that?
How about on the date the consent agreement's executed?
Okay.
Yeah, because I think that would give him time to not be the premise holder either.
Yeah, true.
Because if they want that.
Because he hasn't completed that yet.
Right.
Okay, upon signing. Okay. Okay, so it no longer practice upon signing of the consent agreement. That, again, the current status, I don't know whether this is a technicality, Mark, but he's technically not on probation right now.
Well, I wouldn't say that, and I don't think you need to address that in this consent agreement.
Okay, so we don't need to make sure he's on probation until he signs.
No, because we would do a number of days that if it's not signed.
Yeah. Okay. Another condition would be to pay the $3,000 civil penalty that is still due.
I was going to say, is that the confirmed amount? Because okay.
Yeah, that's what it said. Yeah, the Happy Paws is corporations who have to pay that.
Well, yeah, we.
Under the cap. It's due from you.
If you want to put a time frame in there, and you were probably going there next.
Pardon?
A time frame for doing that.
I have some additional. Oh, to pay the penalty?
Yes.
Oh, okay. To pay the penalty. If he's relocating,
no.
I would say
prior to the day of the signing.
Yes. Or, yes.
What was that?
Prior to the day of the signing of the consent agreement. Because once the consent agreement signed.
Well, but that's part of the consent. Well,
agreement. Yeah, but that's part of the consent agreement.
Oh, so within 2 weeks of it, or 30 days, or
whatever you think is appropriate.
Yeah.
Okay, within 30 days, of signing the consent agreement,
the civil
penalty of $3,000 will be due in full. And this is where I'm open to discussion of an agreement not to renew and not to reapply versus voluntary surrender. We can do a voluntary surrender, or is it a revocation?
I don't know that that's what the board may want to do.
Okay.
But you can. A voluntary surrender is treated as a revocation.
That's what
stated as such in the consent agreement.
So at this point, I would suggest, as part of the motion, that Dr. Benesch agrees to not renew the license, which expires December 31st, 2026, and that he will not seek license reinstatement after the current license expires, which is February 1st, 2027. And that's as opposed to a revocation, but that's...
Well, actually, it's January 1st it expires. It's just February 1st is the last day of the 30-day grace period.
Okay, so according...
The official term would be last February 1st, 2027.
Yeah. So second. Or was there more?
Yeah. No, there wasn't one.
Then I'll say. Oh.
Wait, hold on. Okay.
Oh, and if not...
There was one other thing that he was required to do in his consent agreement.
At this point, which was to review the statutes and rules, and I don't think that was necessary at this point, since he's not going to be practicing in Arizona.
Do they need to close that out to say why he's not doing it in this consent agreement?
I mean, you certainly can, although this consent agreement will replace all. Existing consent agreements. The only thing that you may want to consider adding to your motion regarding final action is that in the event that he should apply.
Well, he's agreeing not to. It would be a violation of the consent agreement.
Right, but as Mr. Raines suggested, the additional language that if he does, the facts and conduct memorialized in this consent agreement, he acknowledges would constitute grounds to deny his application for licensure. Because, you know, otherwise, why are you putting that in there? You know?
I think it's good to put in,
Yeah.
It doesn't sound like he wants to reapply, and if he wants to reapply, well, I mean,
right.
Then he's acknowledging that.
Right. I'm just curious about the legality of if he, in the consent agreement, agrees that he's not going to apply for reinstatement.
Right, but then...
And if he does, isn't that a violation of the consent agreement?
Well,
yes, but it's memorialized.
I only raise it because you added that you added that. I thought I heard you say that.
Okay.
But if you didn't, I missed it.
Yeah, it's good just to include it in a different area so there can not be confusion later.
Okay, so we'll add that if he should apply for reinstatement.
Renewal, right? Because we're not.
It would be
renewal or reinstatement.
Renewal or reinstatement.
Well, what we could say too is something like he agrees not to renew his license when it expires.
I've already
because
got that.
He acknowledges that the findings and conclusions set forth in this consent agreement would constitute grounds to deny that application.
Yeah. And that's boilerplate language that the lawyers will work on.
Okay, yes. Okay, we'll add that to the consent agreement. Yeah. Add that to my motion. So is that okay
so
with you, Mr. Second?
I will second that again.
Okay.
Okay. All right, so now we're going to do a roll call. All right. Roll call.
If not signed within 30 days. Sorry.
Okay. Informal.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dr. Byrne?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Dr. Nosley?
Aye.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
Dr. Thompson?
Aye.
Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Okay. Motion passes.
Now
thank you.
We're in Florida.
Yeah. We're out in Florida.
Sounds lovely.
Carla Palando.
Yeah. Enjoy Disney.
Actually, we adopted a 4-year-old and 5-year-old 2 years ago. So.
Oh,
awesome.
Oh,
my goodness.
It's going to be a Disney
offense. So that is not retirement.
Yeah, so.
Okay, so do you want to take...
Congratulations.
Yes.
A quick restroom break to 10:30.
Sure, because then we have our first...
Yeah. Well, we'll have a couple other things. I'm guessing we can do.
And I get it.
Okay.